Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Yo, Aubrey Edwards, Tony Schiavone, we bout to party, Unrestricted, just got the house now, we gon' turn it up, bring the house down, got that bass space pumping, make them bounce now, flossing like they bossing and the freaks are coming out now.
This is AEW Unrestricted, the official podcast of All Elite Wrestling. You are here listening to the sultry voice of Tony Schiavone and his co-host who somehow got this job, Aubrey Edwards. How are you doing, Tony?
Hey, Aubrey, what's up? It's great to be talking to you, as always, and I'm really excited about our guest. I'm always excited about being with you. We got a lot to talk about today, not only involved in wrestling, but involved in video games and a lot we're touching on. Adam Cole is with us. Go ahead. Take it away.
Yeah. So I just want to clear the air real quick. Okay. Like, because if there's heat between you guys, I'm going to duck out. I know that like Tony's friends with Britt Baker. Adam's dating Britt Baker. Like, are we cool? Everyone cool here?
Can I start off here?
Yeah.
Yes, please.
Okay. All right. I am the consummate professional and I am absolutely willing to move past it for the sake of AEW Unrestricted. But it's totally up to Tony. If he says one wrong thing,
yeah,
I might have to bow up. You know what I mean, Tony? I might have to bow up. Tony and Aubrey, it's great to see you guys for real. For real. It's going to be awesome to talk today.
Yeah, it's great to see you too, Adam. I think that when people think, oh, man, there's something going on there, I'm thinking, no, I am older than her dad. And here's what happened. When Adam Cole was not with us, he got in touch with me on a regular basis. He said, make sure that Britt is okay, mm-hmm. that she's not in trouble, that she doesn't, anything bad happens to her. So I kind of watched
out. I like the not in trouble is called out. That's really good. We all know.
So I kind of like was her substitute dad.
Yes.
In many ways on the road. So there you go. That's what's going on. And let me say this as a shoot. It is very apparent to me why Britt loves Adam Cole, because he's one of the nicest young men that you would ever want to meet.
Oh, thanks, Tony.
And really, really, truly. And it's really easy calling these matches. We are so excited that you're here, fella. It took a long time coming, but my God, it's great having you here in AEW.
God, I'm so excited to be here. And I know it sounds like, I sound like a broken record at this point, but really, like, the cool thing about the position I was in was I kind of got to see AEW from an outside perspective because I was with NXT for 4 years.
Yeah.
So between being really close with the Bucks and Kenny, and then obviously being so close with Britt and seeing the company start and then seeing it continue to develop and grow over time, it was so fun to watch. So when the time came for me to make the decision and then finally making the jump, I mean, you had heard across the board, it's the best environment. The fans are the best, which I got to see, again, watching Britt's matches, how great the fans were. But actually being here, like the past 5 weeks have kind of felt like a dream to me.
Right.
It's just been absolutely unbelievable every single week. I'm not kidding when I'm saying I'm having the time of my life. And a night like All Out was like my favorite night of my wrestling career. I could not be more stoked to be here.
So let's talk about All Out, because I didn't know you were there. I don't think Tony knew you were there. And I'm just standing in go position watching you just like pump yourself up. I'm like, oh, oh, this is a thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Here
I'm
we
standing
go.
Next to Bryan Danielson like, oh, this pay-per-view is ending with a bang. So
Aubrey, before you get into the question, I just want a little side note here. I did not know, and I would ask my friend Britt Baker, is he coming? And of course, she did a great job of kayfabing me on that one.
Yes.
As well. So, but anyway, I didn't know you were coming, and I think it's great you're here, but Aubrey, go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to know what it felt like to, you jumped companies, But you come out and you get this incredible response, the Adam Cole, Bay Bay, everyone's on board with it. How does something like that feel, that your brand has transcended what it was and where it was built and just followed you?
Yeah. So the weeks leading up to it was just such an insane process because, again, I've been pretty open about this, but I didn't like officially make the decision until a few days before the pay-per-view. Like, so much of this was happening so fast. So, because again, I had a wonderful 4 years with NXT.
Yeah,
I really, really did. My relationship with Triple H was great. My relationship with Shawn Michaels was great. I loved the locker room there. But when it came time to, and I've said this, so I'll quickly brush over this, but when I made the decision, it was like Britt was asleep and I was laying there in the dark and it was 1 a.m. and I was just thinking about debuting for AEW and I felt like a 9-year-old kid. Like, I was like, I couldn't sleep. I was so excited.
Aww.
So I was like, I've always followed my gut lots of times and followed my heart, and my heart and my gut were telling me, yeah, AEW is the way to go. Between how wonderful Tony Khan is, between how wonderful the entire locker room is, just the whole crew. But as far as the actual debut, it was crazy. So it was the most secretive I've ever had to be. I flew into Milwaukee
right
the night before and then spent the night in a hotel and then got picked up and we drove 2 hours or whatever to the venue while the show was going on. Then I'm in this trailer all day. And I didn't realize how secretive it was until that moment when I was rushed into this trailer, because originally I was going to go say hi to everybody. I was like walking in like, hey, I want to say hello to the crew. And they're like, no, you're not.
No.
You go in this trailer right now. I'm like, oh, crap. Okay. So we're there. And I remember sitting there in the trailer and the main event had finished and I'm still in the trailer. So then I start to panic a little bit. I'm like, did someone forget to come get me? Like, where am I supposed to go? I don't know what the entrance looks like. Are there stairs? Like, what's going to happen? So then we finally got grabbed. And I, like you said, I'm passing everyone and saying hello. And everyone's like, oh, crap, here we go. So it was such a surreal time. And then again, the same thing happened to me when I debuted at NXT. So I remember in Brooklyn for my NXT debut 4 years prior, thinking like, God, I hope the fans are excited. And I went through the exact same thing with my debut at AEW at All Out. I'm like, they're expecting Brian. People are chanting, yes, yes, yes. Are they going to be like, oh, Adam Cole? Oh, man. So
who'd he ever be?
Right, right. So I was pleasantly surprised that they were so amped. And I know I've said this before, too, but my legs were physically shaking out of excitement and adrenaline. I was so pumped, so ready to go. Just all those factors make it like one of the best nights of my entire career, for sure.
Adam, you mentioned that you made your decision to sign with AEW just a few days before mm-hmm. your debut. What was ultimately the deciding factor that made you sign with AEW? What was it?
Well, aside from the fact that I had a 4-hour and 15-minute conversation with Tony Khan, who I had met before, but talking to him about pro wrestling and just feeling the passion that he feels about the industry was really inspiring.
Right.
Aside from the fact that, you know, the Young Bucks and Kenny and the entire crew and the entire locker room and how much everyone is so invested, you know, in the company and in the brand, aside from the fact that Britt Baker was there,
right,
was very telling and very important to me. But again, laying there in my bed and thinking about debuting for AEW made me so excited.
Damn.
I've been so blessed and so fortunate in so many different ways in my life to have the privilege of being able to do things that I want to do and things that make me happy. And the idea of working for AEW made me really, really happy. So I said, I got to go for it. I got to follow my heart on this one. So I wish it was a more like exciting, direct thing that had happened. But really, it was me laying there and just thinking about everything. And you know what else is really inspiring, too, is like company growth is very exciting to me. The thing I loved about working for NXT or Ring of Honor or Pro Wrestling Guerrilla was I feel like I've been so lucky in that I've been on like the upswing of said companies. And it's such a cool feeling to be like, oh, we're growing. Oh, we're making magic. Oh, man, we're continuing to build this momentum and no one's going to stop us. In AEW, it feels the exact same way in the sense of like, AEW is steamrolling the pro wrestling industry right now. And man, I am freaking so happy to be a part of that. So yeah, all those factors.
We are pretty much unstoppable right now.
Yeah, for real. For real.
Knock on wood a little bit. I think my favorite part of your entrance was I'm standing there. We've got the two tunnels, right? And I see you walk up the stairs to the heel tunnel and everyone's all excited. And I'm like, oh, this is going to go real well. And I'm sitting there with my metaphorical popcorn, just like, let's see what happens. This is going to be great.
Yeah.
You've mentioned your long-term relationship with the Bucks and Kenny. You guys were in the Bullet Club together, the Elite. Let's talk about being the Elite. You were killed off by a poison monster energy drink in 2017.
Yes.
And you were resurrected via seance because this is how wrestling works. How did it feel to come back to being the Elite? Because it's one thing to join AEW, but like being the Elite is kind of its own beast.
My God. Well, first of all, before I get into that, I love how the fans and people within AEW pay so much attention to detail. Again, like after, you know, my debut had happened, people had said, oh, he came out the heel tunnel. Oh, he was wearing Jordans. They paid attention to those little things. And I love that about television shows, about movies, and about pro wrestling. I love the detail. But as far as, yeah, being involved in being the Elite, I legit forgot how much fun it is. Like just these past few weeks of getting to film stuff, whether it be with John Silver and Reynolds or with the Bucks and with Kenny, we just have fun. The ideas and the creativity on the comedy side of what we do is a really, really good time. Like going back and doing these skits or these bits with the Bucks and with Kenny reminded me of how much fun I used to have with those guys. And like I said, just the little bit that we've done has been so, so cool. And it's amazing to see, like I just recently did New York Comic Con. I would say over 50% of the people who had, come up and said hello, so many of them mentioned BTE. So many of them mentioned like, hey, be careful. Don't drink that Monster Energy. Are you drinking a Rockstar instead? Mm-hmm. Or a Red Bull? Don't you dare drink a Monster or maybe a coffee. Like they pay so much attention to it, which makes it feel like what we're doing is paying off in a big way. So yeah. I could not be happier doing being the Elite again.
I walked up to you at the New York Comic Con when you were signing with a Monster in my hand, if you'll recall.
I do remember.
Yeah. So, hey, you want a drink? So fans pop about subtle things like that. They really do.
Right.
Your debut, of course, at All Out was very well received. And then you had your first match on Dynamite against Frankie Kazarian. I know you know Frankie. Mm-hmm. Great match. Talk about putting that match together and your thoughts about that.
Yeah. So when I think of like a first match to have in AEW, I mean this. I told him that night, and I stand by this. I can't think of someone I would rather wrestle.
Oh, yeah.
Because I have known Frankie for a really, really long time. We used to travel. It was me, the Bucks, Christopher Daniels, and Frankie Kazarian, who used to travel town to town in Ring of Honor for years.
Right.
We used to always travel together. To get the chance to be in there with him on such a big night for me was awesome. And then even if I eliminate the relationship that I have with Frankie, like as a talent, Frankie Kazarian is the man.
Oh, yeah.
He is just so, so good. His ability to make his opponents look great and put together a great match to showcase somebody and showcase himself at the same time. I really do think that match with him, where people who walked away and said, man, I'm so excited to see Adam Cole in AEW. A big part of that was Frankie Kazarian. So I'm thankful that he was my first match. And on top of that, I do want to do it again. I want to do it multiple times. I love working with him. And funny enough, that was the first singles match I have ever had with Frankie. We had wrestled each other in multiple tag matches, and we had done stuff together before, but never like an Adam Cole, Frankie Kazarian match. So that was also very poetic as well, that we got to have our first singles together, which in turn makes me think what we could do going forward. So yeah, it was great. I love Frankie.
It's really great just kind of seeing your growth as a wrestler, both as a singles competitor and a tag wrestler. You're just excellent. So of course you're going to fit into the AEW mold quite well. So I personally really liked your match with Jungle Boy.
Thank you.
No reason, not like I was reffing it or anything.
Yeah, it's great.
But also just seeing your matches with, you know, the Bucks and Luchasaurus and Christian Cage and Brian and all these guys, like, what's it like working in six-man tags with arguably one of the best tag teams in the world?
Right. I mean, God, so I know Matt and Nick have been pretty open about this, and I feel the same way. When it comes to six-man tag matches, I feel like we have the best chemistry together. There's just something between Matt, Nick, and myself that just clicks completely, whether it be ideas that we have or whether it be the timing that we have or the moves that we do or what have you. Like, I always feel like me and the Young Bucks have just gelled so, so well. The really cool thing for me was, like, when we had that Arthur Ashe six-man tag match on Rampage, I remember being a little bit nervous and being like, I haven't teamed with the Bucks for like 5 years. And here we are with the biggest show in AEW history as far as attendance goes.
20,000 people, no big deal.
Right, right. And I'm like, God, I hope it's still there. And it was. Like we've always just gelled so well together. I love those guys to death. So it was really, really cool getting to team with them again and on such a big stage as well. But also going into, like, aside from just teaming with the Bucks or teaming with Kenny and the eight man or wrestling again someone like Jungle Boy, that's what has me so excited about AEW. Like, there's so many fresh matches and cool things that we can do now, where it really does feel like with the roster that we have, if nothing else changed, I feel like there's 5 years worth of material.
Easily.
Like, minimum. There's just so much stuff that we can do. And I've only been here for 5 or 6 weeks. So it's, oh man, I'm so amped. So, so pumped. But yeah, I love teaming with the Bucks. I can do it every week.
We are talking with Adam Cole, and we know there's a story behind Adam Cole Bebe, and we'll hear it next on AEW Unrestricted. AEW Unrestricted continues with Tony and Aubrey and our guest, Adam Cole, one of our new stars. What a debut he made at All Out about 5 weeks ago, something that we will never forget. So tell us here on Unrestricted, for those who don't already know, the story behind Adam Cole Bebe.
Yes, of course. So I actually started doing Adam Cole Bebe in 2009.
Okay.
It didn't really catch on until about 2014. But where the idea came from is I was about a year into my wrestling career. I was working for Maryland Championship Wrestling, so MCW. And I remember it was the Shane Shamrock Memorial Cup. And that's like one of the biggest shows they do every single year. And Joey Matthews was in the finals, or Joey Mercury, when he worked at WWE. And I remember he was beating somebody up, and he would go and he would turn to the audience. He would throw his fists up like this, and he would go, Joey Matthews. And then he would, you know, beat him up again. He would go, Joey Matthews, over and over again. And I remember as a 19-year-old kid going like, wait, that's really smart. If half these people have never seen a wrestling show before and they remember one name, they're going to remember his.
Right.
He screamed his name a dozen times over and over and over again. So I remember thinking, because I had just turned heel in Combat Zone Wrestling in CZW. So I felt like I needed something. And I was like, okay, I could yell my name, but I wanted to make it different. I didn't want to, you know, straight up steal the thing that he was doing. So I remember, again, massive fan of Chris Jericho. And when he would stand on someone's chest and go, come on, Bebe. I was like, oh, what if I said my name and then Bebe at the end? But originally it started as Baby. It was like Adam Cole, Baby. And then it became Bebe and got more and more obnoxious as time went on. But for real, so funny enough, though, it really didn't catch on until, again, there was a phase when even when I was in Ring of Honor and I was doing it, people would not do it with me. They would just boo, because it was used as a tool to, like, get heat in that sense. Like, when I first started doing it, the intention was never, I'm going to turn this into a catchphrase that people yell with me. Like, it was just some arrogant thing to say during my matches. That was the only intention. But I remember I had gotten shoulder, tricep, and elbow surgery, and I was gone for like 4 months. Wow. And when I came back, fortunately, the audience missed me. And then when I did the Adam Cole Bebe thing, they did it with me. And then it kind of grew from there. So it was almost a giant mistake in a lot of ways. That was kind of how it started.
Wrestling's great like that. If you're just like, hey, I think this will go over well. If you just stick with it and have the perseverance, eventually, like, the audience connects and
right.
Then magic happens. It's great.
Yeah, exactly.
I want to talk about your PWG run, because yeah. It was great and fantastic. And one of my favorite matches is you and Kyle O'Reilly versus the Bucks versus player Uno, player Dos, who are now Evil Uno and Stu Grayson.
Yeah.
In this ladder match where like you got trapped in a ladder upside down, and Rick Knox does a dive, and it's absolutely insane. And Shivani, if you haven't seen it, you need to see it. It's very good.
Okay.
Bonkers.
Yeah. So Mount Rushmore 2.0, and I think this is where the Kiss comes from too. You guys have been tagging for a very, very long time. Where does the Mount Rushmore name come from?
So there was a phase, like originally, it was me and the Bucks were teaming together. And I think at that point, Kevin Steen, now Kevin Owens in WWE, but Kevin Steen was kind of trying to figure out something he wanted to do in PWG. And I think it was actually Kevin who approached us with the idea of, hey, we should be a group. We should be a faction. And I remember because Kevin had been a babyface at PWG for a long time, and he just wanted to do something different. So he had turned heel. I forget exactly how he did it, but I remember he had turned heel and we all joined forces together. I think we were all just talking backstage. And I think it was the Bucks who had mentioned something like, yeah, we're like the Mount Rushmore of PWG. And then Kevin and I were like, oh, that should be our name. We should be the Mount Rushmore of wrestling. We're just Mount Rushmore. And then that was kind of what happened. I remember we had cut the promo backstage after the show, and Kevin had mentioned it as well, because we still weren't sure if that's the name we were going to go with. And Kevin said, we're the Mount Rushmore of pro wrestling. And then the comments were like, Mount Rushmore, Mount Rushmore, Mount Rushmore. So that we were like, okay, that's our name. There we go. And then we already had the shirt idea with Mount Rushmore with our faces on it. That shirt sold really well. So that was kind of how that stuck and how that started, which was really, really cool. But Kevin specifically too, between the Bucks and Kevin, those two helped me advance in my career, I think more than they take credit for or more than they realize. I won the PWG world title because of Kevin. I got booked in Pro Wrestling Guerrilla because of the Bucks. So those three have always had my back 100%. So the Mount Rushmore thing just felt so natural because we were all so close.
We're talking with Adam Cole. I want to talk a little bit about your run in NXT
and
WWE. And I have a lot of friends who work behind the scenes there that I know very well. And obviously, Terry Taylor's one of them. I give Terry Taylor a hard time. Steve Riggle's been a friend of mine for a long time. And
love him, too.
And of course, you learned a lot from Shawn Michaels as well. Talk about some of the things you learned working there with those guys.
Yeah, I mean, across the board, when you think about the knowledge that all these guys have, and not just that, but the willingness to give up that knowledge, it's priceless in a lot of ways. So again, whether it be Regal, whether it be Terry Taylor, or whether it be Shawn Michaels, all of them are just so passionate about wrestling and so willing to talk about it and give that knowledge up. Like my relationship specifically with Shawn to this day still exists.
Good.
And he is someone who helped me tremendously when he didn't have to. I look at Shawn Michaels still to this day as the greatest pro wrestler of all time. He's a guy I idolize to this day. So he was so, so helpful in getting me to think kind of outside the box in a lot of ways, or think about things that I didn't normally think about. One of the things that he really, really helped me with was cadence within matches, like deciding when to speed up and when to slow down and how to take the crowd on as much of a roller coaster ride as possible. And it was something before that I never really thought of. I just did my match. I just had my match. I did my moves. Of course, you try to like tell a story. But as far as like the speed at which you do it was something I didn't really obsess on. And Shawn made me focus on that more and more. And I noticed a definite difference, an audible change from the audience when I focused on that stuff. So
right.
I love him to death. And I love Terry, and I love Regal as well. So when I say I had a wonderful time there, that's an understatement. I really had a great time there. And I wouldn't be the wrestler I am today if it wasn't for my time there.
Yeah, I get it. Just a side note before we go to you, Aubrey. No one hit the ropes like Shawn Michaels did as quickly, as hard as he could. And if you want to see a great match, go to WrestleMania 25 and see his 30-minute match with The Undertaker, just to see how great he really is.
God.
So there, we put over Shawn Michaels, but we're here to put over Adam Cole. Aubrey, take it away.
Yeah, for this short little tangent, since we're doing tangents and whatnot, the first time I ever worked with Adam Cole was during my NXT tryout. And I'm not going to go into the full story, but the match did not go as planned. And I'm pretty certain Adam Cole hated me at that point. But
no.
It turns out he didn't. No. We'll save this for another day. This will be teaser for future podcasts.
Well, let me say this before you continue. Just so you know, for the record,
yes,
live on the air or here on AEW Unrestricted, I never hated you, Aubrey. You did the right thing.
No.
You did the right thing. That's all I'm going to say. 100%.
The short version of it is we had a planned finish for the match, and I had to actually be a ref and enact some rules and change the finish for that match.
You had to enforce them.
Which is terrifying to do when you're in the middle of a tryout and you're just like, okay, well, I'm not working here anymore. Where I'm going with this is it was clear to me in the short little bit that we worked together that I'm like, man, this guy is so friggin' great. And he loves working here and there's just a great energy about him. And man, I really hope I get to work with him again someday. Oh, well, that worked out great. So thanks.
Here we go. Exactly. Of course.
So yeah, it's always great catching up with you beforehand at like holiday parties and whatnot. And I'm like, man, I feel like he'd be a really good fit here. He would be super awesome, but he's doing well over there. You know, whatever. I just wish him all the success in the world. It's great.
Right.
You and I are the same age. You're the same age as a lot of the guys that we have at the company. But one of the things I really like about working with talent who's worked at other places is the lessons that you bring from elsewhere to help our wrestlers grow. We've talked about growth on this podcast. Is there anything that you feel that you're going to bring to the table as someone who's formerly NXT in how to make AEW grow?
As far as the mechanics of what we do, again, the cadence thing was one of the most important things for me for sure. But there also was a mentality that I learned there that I feel like I didn't necessarily apply before I spent time in NXT. And that was like, in a funny way, it's like when to get super serious. Because I remember there was a phase for a long time where, again, I would have matches at Ring of Honor or PWG and they would get intense and they would get physical. But I used to be so concerned with just getting the crowd to react as much as possible. So whether that was gaga or being funny or what have you, I was just all about getting them to respond. And it worked, you know, to some extent. But then after spending time there and realizing how important it is when you're 15, 20, 25 minutes into a match and it's go time, you better treat it like it's go time and you're, you know, in the middle of this epic battle. My time in NXT did kind of help me tune into that a little bit better because both Triple H and Shawn have that same mentality of like, hey, all right, you're in a war. It's for the championship. Let's go. No fun and games anymore. You're trying everything you possibly can to win. So between that and then again, when to speed up and when to slow down, I think those were the two biggest things. The other thing too is, again, and I really respect this about Hunter. That guy is being grabbed in 18 different directions all day. He is always on the phone. He is always being pulled to the side. He's always being asked his opinion. And for him to not only succeed in every single thing that he's been asked to do, but do it with a smile on his face and with a passion that he has for the industry is admirable. Because we all love pro wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
But he's been going at this for a really, really long time. And to see him with that mentality and with that mindset, same with Shawn Michaels, is inspiring. It used to fire all of us up. We were like, yeah, let's go. Let's do it. I learned a lot of lessons, whether it be within pro wrestling or even outside of pro wrestling. Those two really helped me a lot.
We're talking with Adam Cole on AEW Unrestricted. Coming up next, not only fan questions, but we want to talk about the video game world as well. Stay with us.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
AEW Unrestricted with Adam Cole and Tony and Aubrey with you as well. Good to have you with us again for another episode. We want to get to fan questions, but we want to talk about video gaming because yes, we know that's part of your life and a big part of your world. And you and I have talked about that because not many people know that an old guy like me can work in video games like I have and play video games, but that's what happens when you have four boys. Adam, you have a couple of systems with you. We were talking about a Magnavox system, right?
Yes.
That you have, which is like some really old school console.
Yeah. So I've become a massive video game fanatic in a lot of ways. So it's like my two passions at this point are pro wrestling and video games. And funny enough, the reason I got into video games so much is because I realized
I want to interrupt you here.
Yeah.
Three passions.
Oh, of course.
Ah.
Hey, she knows that. That goes without saying.
Okay, sorry. Yeah, so go ahead. Go ahead. I wanted to pull you out of that one, buddy. Sorry. Go ahead. All right. Okay.
But yeah, so there came a point where I was like, I need a hobby, because literally my entire life from 11 years old on was pro wrestling, which is great. But there did come a point where I was like, I think I need to find something to kind of just detox for a second, or relax, or
right,
escape, or what have you, something outside of the industry. Again, I had been a casual gamer my entire life. My first memory of not just video games, but of my entire life was I was 3 years old. And I remember I got up super early and I ran downstairs, and my dad had stayed up all night and got like the best bike you could get in Road Rash on the Sega Genesis. And I was so excited. So I played them my whole life. But when I really got into them was 2015, actually. So it ended up being, a long story short, my brother had an Xbox and Halo 5 had just come out, and I was bored and I said, hey, can I play Halo? And I stayed up till 7 a.m. and beat the whole campaign. Then the rest was history. I bought my own console, all that stuff. But up until a couple of years ago, I was never really a collector of anything.
Yeah.
And now I've gotten obsessed with collecting all these different consoles. So, well, like we were talking about, the Magnavox Odyssey is actually the first home video game console. And all it was two dots on a screen. And the game would change based on the physical overlays that you would put on the screen. So like a hockey rink, a tennis court, a haunted mansion, and you just used your imagination. So between that, and I have an Atari 2600, I have the Fairchild Channel F, which is the first console to ever use cartridges instead of just having built-in games in the system. I mean, God, you name it. The Sega Master System, the Sega Genesis, the NES, SNES, N64, the Virtual Boy. I have a Virtual Boy. Yeah, a bunch of different stuff.
Oh, man.
Let me ask you something about the story you just told. Your dad played video games too?
He did.
Yes. You see, here's the deal. Let me give you a quick story that I stayed up all night one night, and I beat Super Mario Brothers 2.
Yeah.
So at 3 o'clock in the morning, I woke up all four boys. They had to go to school. I said, guess what, you little suckers? I beat Super Mario Brothers 2. There you go.
Yes.
It's a big story in our family. So, hey, congratulations for your dad playing Road Rash. Great game.
Thank you.
And way to hand it down to his son as well. So, Aubrey, go ahead.
Yeah, my dad and I played a lot of NBA Jam on the Genesis when I was growing up. So
what a game.
That was the video game that I bonded with my father on.
Nice, nice.
Anyway, let's get to fan questions, because holy hell, there's a lot of them.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Adam Southfield on Twitter asks, after you beat Frankie Kazarian, you tweeted 1-0. Did you forget about your loss to -1 at the AEW New Year's Eve party?
No, I did not. I did not forget about that loss. However, there's a rule within pro wrestling. That was an unsanctioned match.
True.
All right. I will never deny the loss, but it was not sanctioned by All Elite Wrestling. -1 did beat me fair and square, but I'm not going to count that against my record. It's just up here in my memory.
I believe there was one referee at that party and she was off the clock. The ball gown she was wearing does not allow for reffing. So that was just completely unsanctioned. I agree with that statement.
That's what I'm saying. Unsanctioned. But again, if we're talking total losses, I think now 4. So 4-1, 4-1.
There you go.
4-1. At Hello, Who Am I wants to know, your AEW music has taken the world by storm. I think we all know that. It's a big hit. How does it compare to your prior themes, and what did you have to do to get the timing of the boom down?
So yeah, that's a great question. So talking to Mikey Ruckus was such a fun process, because I had explained to him kind of my vision of where I wanted the song to go. I said I wanted it to be Rage Against the Machine, a vibe in that sense. And then also Something For You was a song I used to come out to in Ring of Honor. And I loved the drum and the bass in that song. So I wanted something involving that also. And he just literally meshed the two together so, so perfectly. It was incredible how well he did and how much he nailed it on the first go. It was wild. But as far as the timing of the boom, funny enough, Ruckus had that ready to go for a while, actually. So for anyone who was like, oh, the timing of the boom was kind of off, that's on me, because I wasn't sure if I wanted to have a timing for the song to have to hit the boom. And then after a couple of weeks, and I saw how many people really wanted that to exist in the song, I finally told Ruckus, I said, hey, man, all right, let's put that in there. So really, the timing of the boom was more so on me. I was thinking, okay, maybe I'll do it just at any point of the song. Because you guys know, sometimes depending on the size of the ramp, or the speed at which you get into the match or the time on television. I'm like, do I have to go? Okay, my entrance every time is going to be a minute and 30 seconds. But when I saw how important it was to everybody, I said, okay, all right, we got to put it in there. But Ruckus had that ready to go from the gate.
I love it. Yeah. I love it. This is something that we've actually talked about a little bit. Martin on Twitter asks, how hard is it to be a heel but be loved by the crowds?
It has been a thing that I've gone through for a few years, and I take it as a giant compliment. But my big thing was the match with Jungle Boy is my prime example. So in the beginning, they're excited for the entrance. They want to do the boom and they want to do Adam Cole, Bebe, and they're into me at the start of the match. But my theory and my thought process is if I have enough time, I'll get them to change their mind. So again, the moment with the Jungle Boy match where me and you, Aubrey, had our moment, and then Jungle Boy ends up locking me in the submission. Everyone in that arena wanted Jungle Boy to win.
Oh, yeah.
That's when I was so happy. I was like, okay, we got him. Now we're good.
Right.
So if they choose to cheer me in the beginning, I'm okay with that. I don't have that inner battle of like, oh, I'm not doing my job, because my job starts to get done as the match progresses and as I start doing more heelish, dastardly, evil things, to where by the end, as long as I get them by the end, then I'm happy with that. So that's kind of my thought process on it.
Right down to the bottom of the list of all of our questions here. Happiness is just a flaming wants to know, what was the bigger deal? Getting your first action figure, being in your first video game, or getting your own Uno deck?
Oh, God.
That's a tough one.
That is such a tough one. So I do love action figures.
Right.
But I'm a massive video game guy. So my heart wants to say that being in my first video game. However, getting our own Uno deck was so freaking cool. However, I will say, because at the end of the day, my heart is in video games, the fact that I'm in my first video game was such a cool thing. Like, to the point where I only have two games on display. And it is Road Rash from Sega Genesis, because it's the first game that I ever played.
Clearly.
And then the first game that I was ever in. Those are the only two games on display for me. So I'm going to go with being in my first video game.
Very cool.
I'm going to take the next two questions because they're sort of related. Speaking of games.
Sure.
Lisa Lockhart asks, as a proud member of the Chugs Army.
Yes. What's up, Lisa?
How did it feel knowing that you would be in AEW where you'd be able to keep your Twitch community alive and thriving?
It was vital to my decision. I made it very clear pretty early on that Twitch has become such an important part of not just what I do, but a part of my life. Twitch started as just a fun thing to do on the side. It was like, oh, I love video games. I'll stream some video games and talk to people who also like video games, and they'll be excited about it too. And then there was like this bond that we all formed where, again, I would come into stream and it would be like, it was someone's birthday. And they decided on their birthday to come and hang out in stream. That's crazy. Like, it's so awesome to me. Or someone coming in and saying, hey, I got this awesome job promotion and we're all excited. Or, hey, I just had my first child. It's been such an awesome thing. And they make me feel so loved. And I hope, and I like to think that I make them feel the exact same way. But keeping Twitch was like, losing it just wasn't an option for me. It was just something that I needed to do and something I needed to keep. So it's been so important and so vital. And the coolest thing too is since joining AEW, the community has grown even more. It's been just unbelievable. And they're so understanding of my wacky schedule, where like sometimes I can stream 7 days a week. And then sometimes I just did my first stream yesterday after like a week of not being able to stream. So it all depends, but they're the best. I love them to death. I know they know I love them to death, and mwah. I love the Chugs Army. I love them.
Follow-up question from Ant.
Yeah.
How much are you looking forward to seeing yourself in Elite General Manager? Be very careful how you answer this question.
Oh.
And are you going to try and get involved with AEW games, possibly either directly with video games or playing on Twitch?
So as far as being involved in AEW games, I am so excited about it. We did the first AEW games live stream on Twitch recently, where me and Evil Uno played Far Cry 6, and I had so much fun. There were a bunch of members of the Chugs Army in there. Me and Uno getting the chance to talk about games was really exciting, because again, I'm buddies with Uno, but sitting there and just talking games with him, where we both had this moment in that live stream where I had that like, oh, you love video games as much as I do. And he had that like, oh, you love them too. This is great. Oh my God. It was so much fun. So as far as being involved in AEW games, I want to be as involved as possible. I've said before that I would love every single week to do a live stream. The fact that we got to the other week, I told Uno, I'm like, hey, this should be a weekly thing. Let's just play games every single week on the AEW Games Twitch stream. So I'm very, very excited for the future within AEW Games and doing more stuff with AEW in the gaming department.
I should have your art for Elite General Manager soon so you can approve it. We can get you in for an update. And
yes.
It's going to be real good. Going to be real good.
Oh, I'm so excited. Yeah, yes, I'm very excited about that as well. Very, very excited. Let's go.
At Hewitt Films wants to know, it's a pretty cool question. If you could hit a Panama Sunrise on any video game character,
ooh,
who would it be?
Oh, my answer is Handsome Jack from Borderlands 2. I would Panama Sunrise him over and over and over again because he is my favorite villain, not video game villain. He is my favorite villain of all time. The voice actor, which the name is escaping me, and I apologize because now I sound like a horrible Borderlands 2 fan, but the voice actor for that character, it's some of the best voice acting work I have ever heard. And it's all like these little subtle things.
Wow.
Yeah. Tony and Aubrey, if you haven't heard Handsome Jack from Borderlands 2 talk yet, you got to listen to him because like I've told multiple people that I've studied his voice acting work for promo material.
Wow.
There's little things that he does. Like there's one, and any Borderlands fans know this, but there's one where he's doing this monologue and he's eating pretzels at the same time. And in between, he's going, God, these pretzels suck. But it's so convincing and believable, and he is so condescending and arrogant. But the best part is, in his heart, he believes he's doing the right thing, which is what any true villain is really good at. So I want a Panama Sunrise Handsome Jack so bad because I love him so much. It's out of love, Handsome Jack.
His name, by the way, is Damian Clark.
Yes, great, great, amazing. God, bravo, dude. So good.
Little shout out to him. That.
Yes, yes. Incredible.
The Clement W asks, if you could add any video game character to the Elite, who would it be and why?
Ooh, great question. You know what? I would add Master Chief.
Oh, good one.
From Halo.
Good one.
To have an enforcer in the Elite like that, Master Chief just wouldn't be able to be stopped. He would tear through everybody on the AEW roster. Then the Elite could have all the gold, no problem. It would be great. I love John 117. The Master Chief. I would definitely rather be fighting by his side as opposed to fighting against him. That's for sure.
Well, Adam, as always, it's great talking to you. And buddy, your appearance at All Out, when you came in, the music hit and everybody went boom with you and everybody went Adam Cole, Bebe. One of the great moments we've had in AEW since our last 2 years, since we've become a company. So congratulations on that.
Thank you, guys. Yeah, when I say that was the highlight of my career, I mean it in every sense of the word. So thanks for saying that.
Well, you got a lot more highlights coming up, and we'll be glad to share them with you as well. You can follow Adam Cole on Twitter and Instagram at Adam Cole Pro. Mm-hmm. And you can listen to the follow this podcast, Unrestricted, for free, wherever you get your podcast. Listen and give us a rating, too. Check out the video episodes on YouTube. Just search AEW Unrestricted. Aubrey?
Yeah, definitely. Actually, check this one out on YouTube because the gaming collections with these two is putting me to shame. So quite impressive area you got there. Anyway, you can watch AEW Dark Elevation Mondays, AEW Dark on Tuesdays, both of those on YouTube. You can watch Dynamite on TNT, 8 o'clock, 7 central, moving to TBS in January. And you can watch Rampage Fridays at 10 p.m., 9 o'clock Eastern, also on TNT.
My name is Tony Schiavone. And by the way, take care of your girlfriend, Adam Cole. I'm watching you.
I will. I got you, Tony.
Okay, buddy.
This is Tony Schiavone, and I'm Aubrey Edwards, and this is AEW Unrestricted. Thank you so much for listening.
Come on, throw your hands up. Let me see you. Unrestricted. Just got the house now. We gonna turn it up, up. Bring the house down. Got that bass, space pumping. Make them bounce now. Flossing like they bossing, and the freaks are coming out now.